that with you to bring you God's Word today. That it would encourage and strengthen us and build us up. And I want to talk today with God's help about walking in Christ. If you've got the Bible, go with me to Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Let's see what he said. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Brethren, David said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And when our hearts are knit together in love, we've got that unity. If we're knit together, we can stand against Satan. I've heard him make an example like this. You take one stick and it's pretty easy to break it. If you put two together and it's harder, but you get a whole handful and it's nearly impossible. And when we're knit together, then Satan can't get in. When we lay aside our ways and look to God together, all the mysteries of His ways are available to us. I went out to California and seen the giant sequoia trees, and those trees grow in little bitty groves together. And they told me, or I read one that said the roots of those trees grow out toward each other, and they intertwine and knit together so that one of those trees, it's got, if a wind comes to blow it down, it'd have to pull down the other trees with it. And children of God, when we're that way and we're knit together in love, Satan can't get to us. You know, if I've heard them compare Satan to a fox, and they say you can catch a fox and chain him up, and you get off back somewhere where he can't see and watch him, and said that fella, or little fox, will try every link of that chain to see if he can find a weak link. But children of God, if we're knit together and we're loving one another like we're supposed to, thank God there won't be no weak links in God's way. Listen to what he said. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Children of God, you know there's so many teachers in the way of God now that you can hear any kind of doctrine that you want to. Paul said, how is it, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation. Paul told Timothy that deceivers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All but here, Paul was joying and beholding their order and their steadfastness of their faith in Christ. He told us, children of God, to be steadfast and unmovable. And he told us to be no longer children, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Thank God, let's follow the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How did we receive the Lord? Do you remember that day or night? I'm persuaded we all received Him the same way, with joy, with confidence, with boldness. If that's the way we received Him, then that's the way we're supposed to walk in Him. Oh, the love that was shed abroad in our hearts that day or that night. Do you remember how you received Him? Well, how are you walking in Him? Have you still got that joy? Are you always down and discouraged? Can't hardly make it. Have you still got that confidence? Remember how you didn't just say you believed God could do anything? Well, you knew He could. Remember how you knew without a doubt that you was going to make it. Remember the confidence that you had in the children of God and yourself. The Word of God said, cast not away your confidence, therefore, which hath great recompense of reward. Paul said that we're part of Christ's house if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You remember that rejoicing? Remember that love that you had for everybody? Did you see any faults? Did you look for any faults? I know I didn't. Well, children of God, to walk in something is to continue in it.
and I want to continue in Christ. I want to walk in Him as I have received Him. And somebody might say, but He told us to grow in the grace and knowledge. Amen. And if we continue to walk in Him like we received Him, the growing will come automatically. You might wonder how. Well, think back. When you received Him, what did you do? Did you have time for anything except Christ? Was there any time to talk about and judge your brothers or your sisters? Was there any time to sit around and feel sorry for yourself and wonder if anybody loved you? When there was church somewhere, were there more important things that needed to be done, or did you manage to find the time to go to church? Did you hear and accept the Word of God when it was taught? Did you go home and analyze it, or did you go home talking about how much it helped you and how bad you wanted to move up? As you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk you in Him. Children of God, if we'll continue to walk that way and keep that desire to serve Him above everything, we'll grow in the grace and the knowledge, and our roots will grow deeper and stronger in His ways. Them thoughts that come that hinder you. Paul said you did run well. Who did hinder you? This persuasion cometh not from above. Those thoughts that are from above, they're first pure, and then peaceable. Then they're gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Somebody told me one time that I told them what was wrong and what they needed to do, but didn't tell them how to do it. Well, if God will help me just a little bit, I'm going to try my best with God's help to explain how to walk in the Lord like we received Him. Listen again to this sixth verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now listen to the seventh verse. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. First thing, children, is to be rooted and built up and grounded in Him. At first, when we received salvation, Christ was the only ground on which we stood. He was the foundation. He was the rock on which we based everything. Christ was our all that day. Friends, houses, land, wife, children, everything lost its desire to us. And like Paul, we counted all things but dung for Christ's sake. He was the object of all our love, all our hopes, all our ambition. Oh, thank God. Can't you remember that day? As Brother Hodges says about this preaching being the height of our ambition, that day, whoever we are, serving Christ was the height of our ambition. Serving Him was all we were interested in life. We didn't care about anybody, anything else. We didn't find anything that we could put before Him. He was our all. He was everything. It's like Paul said, He was the one in whom we lived and moved and have our being. He was our all and our all. Christ was everything to us. All but then, as time passed, if we're not careful, we begin to think that we know something. We know how things ought to be. We know it's not necessary to be all that tied up in religion. Paul told the Galatians, said, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Children of God, we started out spiritual, and the things of the Spirit belong to them that are spiritual. And we begin to get our knowledge and our thoughts and our ways in there. We mess up, children of God. Our roots started out right, but where have they gone since then? Have we been built up in Christ or in ourselves? Are we established in the faith? Or in what we think, or what sister or brother so-and-so thinks. Paul said, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh." If somebody told us to go put on a cowboy outfit, what would we do? I believe we'd go get us a what they call a 10-gallon hat, and some cowboy boots, and maybe a pair of Western jeans and a Western shirt and maybe even a leather cowhide vest. Why? Because that's the way that we think a cowboy ought to dress. And we think that if we're going to dress up like a cowboy, these are the things that we ought to put on. Paul said to put on the Lord Jesus. And I believe we did one time. That day or that night he came into our lives, we took him and we put him on us. Word of God taught like you got to lay off some things and that before you can put something else on. And that night we laid off all the things of the flesh and put on the things of the Lord. Now he says, as we have received him, to walk in him, rooted and built up in him. And you know, when you got that cowboy outfit on, you'd probably go look in the mirror, wouldn't you? Why? To see what you look like. And why would you do that? Because in your mind, you know how somebody in a cowboy outfit should look, and you just want to see if you conform to that image that you got in your mind, if you look like you think a cowboy ought to look. And if you didn't, you know what you'd do? You'd change whatever's necessary so that you'd look like you thought you should. If a man or a woman walks in Christ, is rooted in him, what would they do? Well, they'd do what Christ would do. They would act like he would act. Old Paul must have had him on and been walking in him, because he's the one that said that in him that he lived and moved and had his being. And if we put him on, we'll be like a mirror. When he looks at us, he'll see his likeness. I remember reading about an old boy that they said seemed like he'd done everything right. And one day, he was in the army, and one day his commander asked him, said, "Son," said, "how is it you always manage to seem to do everything right?" And he reached in his inside pocket and pulled out a picture, and he said, "Sir," said, "this is a picture of my father." And said, "every time that I go to do anything," said, "before I do it, I say, now, would I take this picture out and look at it?" And I say, "would what I'm fixing to do in any way embarrass or dishonor my father? And if it wouldn't, then I go ahead and do it. But if it would, I just don't do it, sir." And all our children of God, that's the way we can walk in Christ. If we walk in a way that we check everything that we go to do before we do it, we say, "Lord, would this in any way dishonor you? Would it in any way cause a reproach on your name or cause my light to grow dim?" We are the light of the world, children of God. But the Word of God said, "Oh, if that light is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Don't let your light be darkness. Glory to God. Don't let your salt lose its savor. Let's go on now. Let's see. Let's begin to check and see if we've got him on and if we're walking him. If we're walking in him, children of God, the world can see him in us. The world can see him in us. They know that we're different. And I thought about one time, I read a little story about a man, and I want you to just listen to me. I want to read it to you. Listen to what it says. There's so much in here, children of God, and think if this was you. Listen to what it said. It said, "Many years ago, a missionary employed a great Chinese scholar to translate the New Testament into the Chinese language. The scholar was a Confucianist and had never heard of Christianity until this missionary had engaged him. The scholar was a painstaking person and wanted to produce a splendid translation. And as he completed his work, the missionary recalled that he'd not even said any one word to him about his soul and his need of the Savior. Engaging the scholar in conversation, the missionary said, 'You sure have been a great help to me. And as you translated the New Testament, has not the beauty of Christianity appealed to you? Wouldn't you like to be a Christian?' 'Yeah,' replied the man, 'it does appeal to me. It's a wonderful system of ethics. I think that if I could see a Christian, I might become interested.' 'But,' said the missionary, 'I am a Christian.' 'You,' said the scholar, 'are a Christian? Oh no, pardon me. I don't want to offend you, but I've observed you. You're not a Christian. If I understand right, a Christian is a follower of Jesus. And Jesus said, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. But I've listened to you talk about others who are not present, saying unkind things about them. I've watched you closely in other things, and I have had to conclude that you are not a Christian. But I think that if I could see a Christian, I would like to be one. And oh, thank God tonight, children of God. You know, when I read that, I've thought so many times, that man knew nothing whatsoever about the ways of God. And if there was a man moved in next door to you, and he'd never heard of Christ, and somebody gave him a New Testament, and he lived there for 6 months, and he was an honest person that studied that New Testament and looked at it, at the end of that 6 months, could he look at you and say, my neighbor, he's one of them Christians. He lives what this thing says. Oh, thank God, children of God, it's a lot to think about tonight. Do you live what you know to live? Let's check. Let's see what we're doing. First thing Paul told us was not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. But now he does want us to conform to something. You know what that is? To Christ. If I were to start, the first thing I'd check is love. God is love. The Word of God said all the law is fulfilled in this one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we do this, we won't talk about them because we don't want them talking about us. Somebody might say, let them talk. I know what I am. Friend, if you really think that you can stand the test of somebody hunting for faults and think they can't find them, you're just fooling yourself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So love is the fulfilling of the law. And do you know this love? The world's got love, but now you know the world loves its own. And it ain't no problem to love them that love you. But do you know what this kind of love will do? Why, this kind of love, children of God, will cause you to love your enemies. Thank God. Thank you. Jesus told them in one place, he said, that if you just love them that love you, what have you done? Do not even the hypocrites so. And children of God, when you walk in Christ, oh, thank God, then you can love your enemy. Then, children of God, you've got on, you're walking in him and doing that that's pleasing to him. Now let's go on. The next thing would be joy. And if you joy in something, you delight in it. And the delight in something is to rejoice in it. Where's your delight at tonight? Where? What do you enjoy doing? Where's your pleasure at? David said, blessed is that man that delights in the law of the Lord. And again he said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. It shouldn't be too hard to check to see if you've got this part of Christ on. Where is your delight? You know better than anybody else whether or not that it's in the Lord. The next thing would be peace. And peace is a sense of rest and contentment. It's freedom from strife, whether external or internal, and security from outward enemies as well as calm of the heart. And there was a little prayer somebody prayed one time, and listen to what it said. It said, where there's suspicion, let me sow trust. Where there's rashness, let me sow patience. Where there's rivalry, let me sow unity. And where there is misunderstanding, let me be understanding. And oh, if you've got that peace of God, it don't matter how the storms of life roll, when trouble surrounds you and you're at peace, and no matter what comes. There's no story I heard that I like about the old man and the atheist that was riding down the road, and a storm came up, and the atheist began to tremble as a lightning flashed, and the thunder rolled, and the trees swayed under the great wind. And he looked over at that old boy sitting over next to him that loved God, and he said, pray, pray. He said, maybe your God will save us, pray. That old boy just sitting there so calm. He said, I prayed for the storm broke. And thank God, children of God, if we've prayed before the storm broke, then we know that peace is still there. It ain't hard to check yourself to see if you've got him on and see if you're walking in him. You know, that peace is worth everything. One time when the Jesus and his disciples was out in the boat and a storm come up. He knew that he was the Son of God. And you know what he done? He went and got him a pillow and went and laid down and went to sleep. He had that peace all about him. But all the disciples got disturbed and upset, and they come and they woke him up and they said, "Master, Master, save us lest we perish." And he just got up and he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Where's our faith? That our peace gets disturbed. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And he just looked up and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and the waves, and it was a great calm come over them. And so much so that they said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" This was Christ, and this is the way we're supposed to walk, is in him. It ought not be too hard to check yourself and see if you've got on him, got him on up to this point. Are you walking in him? The next thing would be long suffering, which is patience, and patience endures whatever is put on it without murmuring or complaining. Oh, thank God. That gets close to home, don't it? You know what? The Word of God tells us that they which live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It didn't say might suffer or if they suffer, but it said they will. So the question is not whether that we'll be always treated right, but how we're going to react when we're treated wrong. And if we ever got that patience right, children of God, we can make it. Not only does tribulation and suffering produce patience, but patience as a fruit of the Spirit transforms the hardest trials into glory, because we can see the purpose of suffering beyond the present pain. Satan seeks to destroy our souls, but through the patience developed as God allows new trials according to our capacity, we can turn Satan's poison back upon him. You know, the true patience that God wants us to have, it's got victory. It suffers with a smile. To the person looking on, they don't seem to be any trials or suffering there. But when a long face accompanies suffering, the Spirit's not producing the kind of patience. That's something else. We're just enduring it. We're not enduring it without murmuring or complaining. Long suffering is part of the things that we need to put on if we're going to walk in Christ. Gentleness is next. Gentleness is being kind, chatty things, looking things that they ever has been. And I'll tell you, friends, today I want to live wholeness. And I want my life to measure up to what he'd have it to be. Now, I read this last week. I'm not going to read the whole thing again. There's only four or five verses. Well, I may read it. I'm not going to talk about all of it again, but I may read a little of it so that you can maybe remember where we come from last week if you listened. And if you didn't, maybe I can bring you up today, because I just liked one verse actually in the scripture. This is the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, starting at the 14th verse. Now listen, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, friends, just to kind of highlight just a little bit about last week, what we were talking about was God don't want us to have fellowship with the world. He does not want us to have fellowship with the world. He doesn't want us to be a part of the world. We're separate. Word of God said in another place that said we was a peculiar people, and we need to be different. We're supposed to be different, folks. And he doesn't want us to be involved in the things. You know, I've thought so many times about things. I think I said this last week about renting these old
movies, and if I tell you that I'm holy, and that I live a different kind of life, that I'm one of God's children, you go down to the video store to rent you a movie to watch, some of these things that ain't fit to watch, bring them into your home with all the cursing and the swearing and the nudity and all this stuff in there, and you're over there getting you a video out, or somebody is, and I walk in, and I walk over and I start looking for me a video to take home with me, and you say, man, he ain't no different than me. I thought he was different. Or if you go off to a big ball game somewhere and they're ripping and roaring and hollering and having a big whoopee time, and I tell you that I'm different, and you look up there and there I sit and I'm doing the same whooping and hollering and carrying on that you are. Well, you don't know there's no different in me. If I say I'm holy, and you see me walking down the road with a pair of shorts on and no shirt, and running down the side of the road, you say, well, he ain't no different than me. That ain't modest apparel. And the Word of God teaches us to dress in modest apparel, not to be like the world. And not, you know what modest means? Modest means is unassuming. That's what modest is. It's decent and unassuming. That's what shamefacedness is. It's unassuming. We're not supposed to stand out. We're supposed to just be modest and unassuming. Somebody say, well, if you dress like you want them to, you'll stand out, but you'll stand out in God's ways. You won't look like the world. And friends, this is what it's all about. We need to belong to God. We need to act like that we belong to God. And if we will, friends, then people know what we are, and then our light will shine and we can draw people to God. Now, I tell you what, let me read this other verse, and then I'll talk whatever God will let me, and then we'll get done. I'm going to read the first verse of the seventh chapter. Listen. Having therefore these promises, what promises? That he would be our God and we would be his people, that he'd be unto us a father. That's the promises. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that's what we need to do, perfect holiness in the fear of God. And I want you to know, friends, today that whether or not you and I live holiness, whether or not we come to the Word of God, the Word of God is going to stand, and His church is going to stand. Individuals will fall, individuals will fail, and maybe even sometime congregations will fail. Congregations may deviate, change from the Word of God. They may be ministers that change the truth and fall away, but God's church will stand. God's church won't be moved. God said He built that church, and Jesus did. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And friends, we need to understand that we've got to walk in those old paths. We've got to stand there and be what God would have us to be. God's way is a clean way. It's a pure way. It's a good way. Friends, it's the only way. It is the only way there is, friends, to go. And I believe with all my heart this morning that we are so far beneath what we ought to be in God, and we're so far beneath our privileges in serving God. How we need to move up. How we need to begin to desire to do more and more and more for God. I tell you what, friends. I'd like to be what God would have me to be, and I've thought so much that people today. I've had experiences where that people wouldn't accept the Word of God, that they're going to have their way, and they have their feelings that they go by, and I hear a lot of times that this is a feeling way. Well, I understand what you're saying, but sometimes your feelings are wrong. But you know what ain't never wrong? It don't matter if it's morning, noon, night. It don't matter if it's this week, next year, or 10 years from now. You know what ain't never wrong? Your feelings may be wrong, but the Word of God is never wrong. There's a lot of people today that claim that they've heard that God spoke to them, that that this feeling that they have is from God. But God don't lead you in the wrong thing. God don't teach you the wrong thing. The Word of God and the Spirit of God teaches us how to line up to the Word of God. And so many times we might look around and think that we're lined up and that somebody else is out of line, and it may be us. We need to understand how that we need to move up to God. You know, friends, I've thought so much. The Word of God tells us that it's not going to be everyone that cries, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of the Father. And you know, so many times, friends, we know God's will and we don't do it. We know how He wants us to live. The Word of God teaches us that His Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth and all righteousness. You know why? Do you know why that people get into trouble? The Word of God don't leave us in the dark about nothing. James tells us that it said, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And that temptation comes to change just a little bit. That temptation comes to do just a little bit different than what you know to do. But man, the Lord's saying, blessed is that man that endures it, and don't do that. But listen to what he said. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Friends, listen. We must stand fast in the ways of God. You know, I've thought so much that if a man, Jesus said one time, he said, why call you me Lord and do not the things I say? If we love God, friends, we'll walk in Him. The Word of God tells us to walk, as we have received Christ Jesus, walk in Him, rooted and built up, and in Him, friends, in Him. And Jesus said one place, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I thought, this is a little bit of history that really touches me. Do you know that the custom back in Jesus' time, over there, if you were a stranger and a pilgrim, and you were going from one city to the other, maybe from Jericho to Bethlehem or to Nazareth or wherever, and you didn't know the way to go, and you went up to a man and you said, sir, can you tell me the way to go to Bethlehem? And if he was going to Bethlehem, the custom was for him to say, he'd say, I am the way. And that meant that he was going there and that he was inviting you. Oh, I like this. It said he was inviting you to join with him and go to Bethlehem. And Jesus said, I am the way. And what way was that, friends? He said he was going to the Father. He said to my Father and to your Father. And he said, I am the way. And that's that invitation for us to join him, for us to go with him to that good place that's called heaven. But oh, thank God, if we get to go, we must walk in his way. Glory to God. If we get to go, we must walk like he'd have us to walk. Oh, friends, today it's so precious to be able to serve the living God. It's so precious today to be able to know that you're one of God's children and that you're pleasing God. Well, you can know that you're pleasing God. How? How can you know? By checking the standard out. You know what? We must check ourselves out by the Word of God. Let me read just a little bit more right here where I'm at. I want you to listen. It said, let me skip down. Well, let me just go ahead. Not skip. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And all sometimes it's like we're quick to hear, and or slow to hear and quick to speak and quick to anger, don't it? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Anything that's just too much, that's anything that you get into too much, that's of the world, just lay it aside and receive with meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Oh, friends, listen today. If we could hear that word of God and then do it. There's so many people that I don't know what it is. They just, the word of God comes and it, to them, it's just like a lovely song. It doesn't bother them. There's nothing there. The word of God, friends, is to stir us up to action. The word of God is to provoke us unto serving God. The word of God comes to show us where we need to move up. But that man that hears that word of God, if the word of God comes, if you're arguing with your wife and the word of God comes and the minister preaches and shows you where the word of God teaches that you are supposed to love your wife as yourself and not argue with her, and you sit there and shake your head and then you go on and you continue to argue with her, you're a hearer but not a doer, and that doer ain't justified. You see yourself sitting there, it's like a mirror. You say, well, yeah, that's right, I've got to quit arguing with my wife, and then you proceed to leave and continue to argue with her. That's a hearer and not a doer. If the word of God comes and the minister gets up there and he preaches and he said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching, and you've been laying out a meeting, you say, well, yeah, that's right, that's the word of God. Oh, that's the word of God. You've heard it. But then you go away and you still lay out a meeting. You know what you are? You're a hearer. You're a hearer and not a doer. Glory to God. And that doer is the one that's going to be justified. Oh, friends, listen, if the word of God comes, and I preach a lot about the tongue, that little old 2-ounce member gets us in more trouble than anything else. They say it weighs 2 ounces, and it controls this big old body and gets us in trouble. But if that tongue gets away from you, and you talk when you ought to be quiet, and the word of God comes, and that minister says, talking is wrong. You cannot talk about one another and run one another down and be a talebearer and be one of God's children. He said, well, yeah, that's right. That is the word of God. And then you go on and you continue doing that. Friends, what are you? You're just a hearer and not a doer. You're just a hearer and not a doer. Friends, we need to have the fear of God about us. Listen, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know what vain means? Vain means worthless, not good for nothing. Well, let me go ahead and read this last verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know what spotted is? You know, I'm kind of messy when I eat, I reckon. I can eat something with tomato juice in it, spaghetti or just a number of different things, stuffed peppers, whatever. And just as sure as I do, I'll get a spot on my shirt. of that tomato juice. And that's spotted. That's too close to it. When you get too close to the world, when you get too close to being involved in the things of the world, friends, you get spots on your garment. And those spots have got to be gotten off of it. And you can't just continue to go back and get them over and over and over again. Word of God won't allow you to continue. Sometimes that, friends, that you're doing, that God is chastising you in, when that comes, the Word of God comes to straighten you out, and you don't move up to it time after time after time, after a while, that will become sin to you, and God will cut you off. And all today, my time has run out, and I didn't even seem to get started today. I never did seem to really get started, but I hope you listened last week, and this week and last week went together, and I hope you listen. I want so bad for you to be able to get some good out of these things that we preach on the here on the radio, teaching the Word of God to God's people is the height of my ambition. That's what I desire to do more than anything else in this whole world. And I pray today, my earnest prayer is for you and for me, for all of us, that we can make it. The Word of God teaches us that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And I want to go. I want to go more than anything. I want to hear him say, well done. And I hope, again, that something that we've said has helped you. And I hope you'll continue listening. I'd love to hear from you. If any of you ever feel like writing, we're not asking you for money. If you feel like writing to us, we'd love to hear from you. The tapes, if you want the tapes, we'd be glad to send them to you. We love you. We're just trying to do this, trying to help some pilgrim on the journey, trying to encourage somebody and to help them to live a better life for Jesus. So come and see us sometime at church, up at Tiftonia, and maybe sometime wherever you go to church. If I'm invited, I might come and see you. Until next week, this is Brother Billy saying, may the peace of God that passeth all understanding rule in your hearts till we meet again.